hey, we'd like to welcome all of you out to the Town of Danville, Town of Danville, Town Council meeting, Monday, August 7th, 2023, at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Services Building, Conference B. It's good to see all of you, and we're glad that you're all here this evening. We'll go ahead and go to agenda item number one. Public comment. If we have any public comment, we'll open that up.
Pam Skinner, I just would like to know how long we're going to allow the dead RV to sit on Daniel Road as we drive by it multiple times a day. It looks like it's dead. Maybe it still moves, but it hasn't for a while. So that's my public comment.
Do you want me to respond to that?
You may if you'd like.
So that's right across the street from my house. And that's,
I knew that, there. But I didn't say that.
Been there for a day or two.
A couple days.
And so we're in the process of, I talked to Logan Moffett, who is the owner of the trailer court. We've gone back and forth on a couple of things. We've had a, it's on KSL for free. Do you want it?
Thanks for nothing.
But we've had a couple of people come and look at it.
Oh my gosh.
And we had one couple try to, they thought they could drive it to Vernal and live in it. And that didn't obviously happen. And so even as early as today, I've had a conversation with Logan. And by the end of the week, that trailer will be hauled off and taken care of. So, sorry if it's caused anybody inconvenience, but
not inconvenience. It's just kind of not a pretty sight to come into our town on.
Well, I look at it every day.
I bet you do.
Every morning, every night, and
lights on.
And, you know, it's you know, just one of those things. We know that it needs to be removed, and we'll get that taken care of.
Thank you.
So, and Logan's been great to work with and talk to, and the Taylors are here tonight. They've been involved in that a little bit. We were working on it.
Cool. So, that's all we can do.
Okay.
Thank you.
You betcha. Anybody else? Okay. Let's go to agenda item number two then. Agenda item number two is Daniel Resolution. Resolution number 2023-0807, which is to renew the current Town of Daniel tax rate. So we'll open that up for comment.
The plan is to leave it at its current rate.
That's the plan, is to just leave it at the current rate that it was last year. I know that our taxes have gone up a little bit, and this sometimes when your taxes go up, the rate goes down a little bit. But that's what we're proposing to do this year. Leave it the same rate that it was last year. Hasn't increased, hasn't decreased.
Just so everyone knows, it's less than half a mil. It's 0.000398.
Any other comments or thoughts? Okay. Call for a vote. That's what I thought. Still learn after a year. Still learn.
So well, let's make a motion first.
Okay, let's make a motion.
I move that we adopt Daniel Resolution 2023-08-07. The entity tax rate for Daniel Town at 0.000398.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. Do I have a copy of that?
The resolution.
We just put it on the tax rate form.
Okay, all righty. I'm not going to read that sheet, if that's all right. Okay.
And you already signed it, so.
And I did already sign that, yep. Okay, let's go to agenda item number three. What agenda item number three is it's called Computer Help and IT Provider Discussion. And I'll just talk about that just briefly. So we've been using a company called Executech for all of our office computers and all of our iPads and different things like that. We felt like it was time to review that and get some other quotes. And so we've gone to a couple of people, and we actually had a provider here in town come Friday, look at all of our needs, look at all of our computers and iPads and the things that we utilize in town. And he put together a quote based on what we felt like our needs were. And we feel like at this time, you know, Executech has done a good job for us over the last number of years. And with this quote, and I asked Aaron if he'd come tonight, and he told me he'd be here, but obviously he's not here yet, and that's okay. But I don't know how much detail you want me to go into, but I'll just go through a couple of things. Here is the best estimate of our needs. One-time charges to migrate the desktop and laptop, set up a new private router and network, and fix printing and scanning. We're having a hard time printing and scanning on the equipment that we have. The equipment that we have right now is pretty old. His bid to fix that was $320 and $100 in parts. And then we have, in order to manage our software and manage what we utilize, option one would be $200 a month for all Microsoft licensing, equipment scripting, and then $80 an hour on-site help, and $45 an hour for phone help, which is significantly less than what we've been getting charged. He puts a break fix price together, which in his recommendation, he says we don't need a break fix. That was $110 billable per hour, and he's recommending that we don't use that. We have that with Executech. We may or may not have it with him, depending on what we decide. His second option, and this is, he calls this the all-you-can-eat model. That's Microsoft licensing, managing, scripting, network monitoring, and ticketing included, 100% unlimited remote. And some of this stuff's way over my head. You know, I like to answer my phone and talk on it. But that was $450 a month, plus if we call him for any questions or he needs to come and fix something in our office, that's billed $80 an hour or $45 over the phone. And so as I've looked at this and as I've thought about it, it definitely looks like a pretty pretty sweet deal. We're not obligated to Executech for any contracts or anything like that, so we don't have to buy out any contracts or anything like that. And so he's local right here in town. And so that's what I'll tell you right now, and I'll field any questions if there are any. Mary happened to be in this conversation with us on Friday. Kim was there, Eric was there, and we had Darren Cheatwood there. That's the owner of the company. And we basically sat down, explained to him what our needs were, and he went back based on what we told him and put this quote together, which is, I don't know, I can't give you a dollar amount right now because I haven't looked at the Executech bill and what this was, but I can tell you it's a significant
savings. We paid Executech $185 an hour
plus
for a break fix.
We pay him about 800 and something a month.
No, we pay him $386, but that's the bill for Microsoft, so that's just a pass-through. But to even have them answer the phone, they talked to Shelley for 15 minutes. You'll see that on the warrants, and it was $75.
So is this new one, is this a single-person shop?
He's got four employees. That I can tell based on what he's emailed me. He has two guys that go out and fix stuff, and he has two gals that are in the office that answer the phones and any of the phone-in questions and stuff like that. And then he goes out and actually physically does repairs and service work also.
So if you went to these guys, you would not be severing existing contract with Executech. You just wouldn't call them anymore.
Correct. Yes. Well, we would call them one more time and let them know that we somewhere.
But no, but we can do both because we don't have a contract
with
them.
Have to exterminate
so,
anything.
Yeah, we could see call. How it went.
We checked
a trail.
That.
Yeah.
We checked on that. Kim checked on that again today and Friday just to make absolute sure that we're under no contract obligation with Executech, and we're not. Executech does a lot of big, they do like Heber City in Wasatch County, they do
Midway,
they do people, communities that have over 50 employees. You know, we have 13 maybe that use iPads and computers, and the Planning Commission each have an iPad, and We've just been having some problems with a few things. So we're a little more small scale than maybe what they're used to helping. They're more with larger corporations and stuff like that. Just kind of feel like the hometown.
They implemented a 2-point authentication and didn't tell us. And
Executive
so
did?
Yes. And so
you tried to get into your email.
Everybody's gotten locked out of emails.
Yesterday.
But they didn't tell us that. And so
I see your question back there, Lisa.
Anyway, that was just like what?
Yeah.
I can say that I personally have worked with Aaron Cheatwood for years, and you will not find a better guy to work on your computers. He's
we
amazing.
Use him at our office also.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
I got on his Facebook page and a couple of things. I had to have Sierra get me on his Facebook page because I didn't know how to do that. But I looked at some of the comments and stuff. He services quite a few businesses, and there's a lot of good comments on there about him. So.
Yeah. Would we need a contract with him then? Would we do a contract with him?
No. We would just sign, we would just basically call him and say
month to month, whatever.
Yeah, we're switching over to you. And so
question, Kim, do you recall what our limit is on purchasing? We have to go out to bid. Do you recall that?
It's the My understanding is it's $10,000, so.
Would this contract equate to that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so the.
Yeah, we would be way under that.
We're gonna pay somebody some amount.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if.
The most I could see this costing us is $5,000 to $7,000 a year.
So that's within the mayor's authority?
Yeah, purview, uh-huh.
Without any.
Yes.
I don't know that would hurt to, I mean, you can try it and if you don't like it, you go back.
Well, and in here, he's got a 90-day trial period where if in 90, he wants to sit down in 90 days and go through everything and look at everything and say, or is this working for you guys or is it not?
I like that too, is he was like, well, you know, I want to make sure that I'm not blowing out my budget. So yeah, that, he thought 90 days was a good idea. And we don't have a contract with Executech, so we don't even have to move over Microsoft stuff. We just don't have to call him for any break fix things and see how it goes.
Do we know if the $200 a month for managing the software, does that include the licensing? That
I'm not sure on that. I'll have to ask him. My guess is no, because our license, well,
it was 380 something.
386 is what we're paying every month. But
who do you pay that to?
We pay that to Executech, but my understanding was it was a pass-through. That's our Microsoft licenses for every single iPad, and that's like $20 or $22 a piece.
Would we want to transfer that away from Executech?
After the 90 days, yes, but I don't know that we want to do that in the 90 days. But after the 90 days, that makes sense, and yeah, he's happy to do that. And he even said, you can go ahead and manage it yourself. Like, I don't have to manage that. He said it's not actually that hard. So that was his report to us.
Well, my opinion is that certainly the rates that he charges are significantly less than Executech. The service, I think, would be significantly better. I'm with Lisa. I've heard nothing but good stuff about this man from multiple people in town. He's got an immaculate reputation as far as I can tell. And I would certainly like to at least go with the first option and give that a try, just to see if that would suit our needs. If not, even $450 a month, I wouldn't, you know, I can't imagine we need that. We're not that big a operation.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments?
Give them a try.
Okay. We'll go ahead and initiate that then.
Do we need a motion?
That's another part of my question is, it's listed computer health provider discussion. And if we're going to approve this, then we probably should have had it on the agenda that we're in it appropriately, in my opinion.
Well, sorry, I thought discussion was enough.
Discussion. Well, if we're going to take a vote, then but if we're just authorizing the mayor to move forward on this,
well, and that's kind of what I was hoping. We talk about it and get the council's advice on that, and then just move forward with it, because it's really a no-brainer.
I think that's a better approach.
It's really a no-brainer, honestly. So
if there's a contract involved, that's a different story. But yeah, since there's not.
And so he really wants to do a 90-day trial period too, because he doesn't know what his real costs will be.
So what prevents him from just increasing his rates or doing other?
Well, then we would have a contract.
Well,
so
that's
he,
what I mean. I'm just wondering after the 90 days if that might be a smart move.
Very good. We'll go in that.
So authorized 90 days?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 4. This is a fire district at large seat discussion. I'm just going to turn this over to Mary's going to explain to us this and move forward with that.
Okay, before I say anything, I'm going to be asking for an approval tonight, Robin. You're correct. You should have put it on the agenda as an approval.
And I'm sorry. I didn't know that if it was discussion that we could do that.
So I've been on the Fire Advisory Commission for Wasatch County Fire District since they originated in 2016. And recently, all of our terms have expired. We have, before the expiration, we changed our bylaws so that the makeup of the Advisory Commission will be different. There are 7 seats. One is occupied by a, not a council member, a county officer. At this time, it's the county manager. We have a financial expert, a CPA. We have a subject matter expert. He's a former chief from Murray City. Then there are going to be 3 permanent seats. One will be from Heber City, one will be from Midway City, the other will be from Hideout, because they're the 3 largest population centers. The final seat is going to be a floating at-large seat. That will be Daniel, Charleston, Wallsburg, Independence, and perhaps Interlochen. So I have been asked, because I had served for so long, the chief has asked me if I would stay on just to provide continuity for the new members as they come on board. So I've already been asked to do that. I believe I'm going to be approved for that seat tomorrow at the fire board meeting. And I'm asking for permission from this board to represent Daniel and those other towns for the remainder of whatever term. I don't know yet what that will be. I don't know if it'll be a 1-year term, and then they will go to the next community, and then the next. I don't know yet. But I'm asking for permission. As you know, my term here on this council ends at the end of the year. And so if it's a year term, I won't any longer be on the council, but I'd like to continue as the representative for Daniel. Have any questions?
I don't.
So I would like to have approval for that so that I can tell my chief tomorrow that I have been approved to accept that position.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, I am too.
You're fine. Okay. Okay.
Thank you. Yep. Do we need a motion, or that's good enough?
I think that's good enough.
I'm good with it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll call for a motion if you want. But I think you wanted our approval, and you got it.
Thank you.
Yep. So what I'm going to do real quick, I'm going to skip down to agenda item number 7 and do the renewal of business licenses, and then we'll go back to the other items. That way, if you don't have to sit there and all night.
Thank you.
Okay.
But of course you want to.
Yeah, unless you want to. But so we'll drop down to those real quick. And basically tonight we have two renewals. Which are the Gibbons Grooming. Julie Gibbons grooms dogs, and her husband, Nick Gibbons, has a gravel and a dumping service buildings. These are renewals. Eric, have we got any complaints or anything on those? Okay. And I actually just don't know what I did with that, but what we're gonna do is right here. So we have a new business license here tonight, and you guys are here with us. And so why don't you just get up and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do, if that's all right. Hate to put you on the spot.
That's
but
right. Matt Sullivan.
And Anya Gukiewicz Sullivan.
And we have Hungry Bunny Bakery. We've been around
4 years now.
Sweet.
Yeah, it started as a little custom bakery. I primarily do custom cakes, wedding cakes, birthday cakes. I also supply pastries to a few restaurants in town, like OG Cafe.
Awesome.
And business is growing, and would like to move to a bigger location in Daniel.
We're primarily just going to be a commercial bakery that's B2B. We're not going to be a retail spot, so I don't really perceive any traffic impact. We might have the occasional customer coming and picking up a cake, but beyond that,
It's supposed to be a commercial bakery.
See any traffic impact or any significant impact on the area.
Awesome. Where will you be?
What's the address? It's on Mill Road.
It's 2887 South.
They're sharing space with the pretzel company
And the honey company. So I'm just going to have a little fur in that unit.
However, if people are picking up cakes at your store, then that is going to be a retail sale, correct?
Wouldn't consider it really.
No,
it's just mostly we deliver. Almost, I would say, like 95% of what we do, we deliver.
Yeah, but if it's customer orders, sometimes people can pick it up, but it's not.
The issue there is sales tax, because if it's a retail sale and it's happening in the town of Daniel, then Daniel gets the sales tax.
We were going to do that.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
that's more what we're.
And we still collect the tax because of the what we sell.
Okay, and that'll be your permanent address.
And that'll be our permanent address. So we would list Daniel as our sales tax.
Okay.
On our Utah State Tax Commission sales tax.
Yeah. That's more the question.
Yeah. That's not a problem at all.
Thank you, guys. Any other thing you want to say? Or?
No.
Like the area? And
Welcome to the town of Daniel. I think you're in a good location, and be good to have you involved in the town. So,
thank you very much.
Birthday cakes. That sounds good to me.
All right.
So let's. Any questions up here? Any comments up here? Okay, I'll call for a motion.
Owners on all three.
Yeah, on all three, the new and the renewal. We'll call for one motion.
I'll do that. Make a motion to renew the business licenses for Gibbons Grooming and for Gibbons Gravel and Dumping Service, and a new business license for Hungry Bunny Bakery, as discussed earlier.
Okay,
I'll second that.
Okay, got a second. Call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Thank you guys for your
Thank
time.
You.
Appreciate it.
Excuse me.
You bet.
Thank you.
Betcha.
We can't wait to taste your cakes.
Okay, so let's go back to agenda item number 5, and we're going to open up a discussion, and this is just a discussion, on water rate and impact hookup fees in the town of Daniel. And in order to start this, I'm gonna put Eric's feet to the fire a little bit and turn a little bit of time over to Eric and have him talk about our water rates and our impact hookup fees and go from there. I didn't prep Eric for this, so.
No, you didn't.
I'm putting him right on the spot. You'll find that with me, sometimes you get put right on the spot, like I do.
So are we talking rates across the whole system, all the systems, or?
We're talking about.
That'll be something you guys will have to decide where the rates need to be. The systems are very different.
Right, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. So the costs are broken up differently. Robin wanted us on the agenda to talk about rates, so
yes.
We've done some homework looking at rates across the state, what they have, and to just loop it into that big thing is really doesn't work for the town of Daniel. We have some bonds, and that's why our rates are structured like they are, to pay those bonds. That's what we looked at. When we got the bonds, we had to have our rates to pay them back. And so that really, when you get a grant or bond, that they won't give you the money if you don't have it to pay it back. So that's why we're structured the way we are. Overall, I mean, the Division of Drinking Water sent us up some rates across. Did they get a copy of those in their packet?
No, because it didn't. What she sent me didn't make sense.
So we didn't, we...
And I didn't get it until noon.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what they said from the Division of Drinking Water. It has several different systems throughout, some that are as much with the population of Lake we have, and some that are big. And they rate, and they go from 52, 70. Future rates are looking at Summit County is $75, down to $33. Commercial rates are different. So the spectrum's wide open for what you guys wanted, what your needs are, and to custom tailor your water system. I think some of these ones here at the end are smaller systems. And so this one here, Box Elder County, 1 to 10,000 gallons is $31. So, you know, we're within that range. We fall within this range. The future rates are looking at raising that one in Box Elder County. They have 402 customers, and they're looking at moving to $33 from $31.
But they only get 10,000 gallons?
That's at 10,000 gallons, and then it's a structured rate. So 10 to 50,000 gallons, you pay $1.25 per thousand. That's usually how they bill water, is in the thousand gallons. So we have the same structure here. We have the base rate to 20,000, and then as you use more, it costs more money. So if we have, I'm trying to think, we had a commercial outfit that wanted to fill up water trucks, we went immediately right to our highest structure and charged them per thousand to $5 per thousand. They were just filling up water trucks and putting them on the road. So that's what we did, just as a temporary water source for Geneva Rock to do that. So that's been the normal. So is there anything that I might have missed that you want
to share? So go over a little bit of the rates that we currently have. You said they're structured differently on the different systems, or do you have that?
So Storm Haven is allowed 8,000 gallons, and they pay $45 a month.
For 8,000 gallons?
8,000.
And then they get it per 1,000 gallons after that?
Yeah. Same thing, it goes up as the per thousands go up. And we have, I can tell you that we have some water bills that are $800 a month. And they just pay them because they're using the water. If it goes through the meter, I mean, they choose to do that. We have, there's a lot of area, especially up in the Storm Haven area, they don't have irrigation. And so they're using the culinary water to water the lawn, which was never designed to do. But you know, we sell the water, that's what the town does, so. I don't want to encourage that, but it's revenue.
I'm laughing because my water bill was $211 last month.
Scott went over last month.
And, you know, I just wrote the check, you know. I know I had the kids in the splash pad multiple times, and so you just pay the rate, you know. When the grandkids are over, it gets costly.
But it's cheaper going to town.
It is. It is. So one thing I just want to say about this discussion, and one thing that we've been thinking about ever since I become the mayor, is when and how much do we raise the water bill? And in talking to Ryan Taylor and Eric and Adura and different people, over the last 10 years, the water rate has never changed, according to what I understand. And over the years, maintenance has gone up. It costs us a little more to, you know, when we get a break in the line or whatever, it's costing us a little bit more to fix that. In talking with Ryan, and Ryan's not here to defend himself, and I'm not going to throw him under the bus, but what he and I have been talking about is that over the last 10 years, the water bill should have increased 2 to 3% every year, and it hasn't done that. And so now we're sitting here in 2023, and we're paying more money to fix breaks. Things just cost more money, and we're in a situation where basically we need to decide Are we going to gradually increase the water bill over the next little while? Or are we not going to increase the water bill? Or what are we doing? And that's what started this conversation. Obviously, to do that, we've got to go to a public hearing and do a lot more homework and have some solid numbers and have a few things, which we don't basically, we're trying to get that information. We don't have all that information available this evening. But as this conversation moves forward, we obviously need to decide, are we fine where we're at and we're good to move forward, or do we need to increase the water bill $5 a year for the next couple of years, 3 or 4 years, or do we just all of a sudden say we're going to $50 a month and not increase it for the next several years? I mean, and what you got to understand too is that I know there's a lot of people that are on fixed incomes and that live in Daniel and in that area, and don't think that we don't take this into consideration, because a lot of my neighbors, I mean, I've lived in Daniel for 36 years and I pretty much well know everybody, most everybody. And I don't know of one individual that this won't affect. And so, I mean, I want you guys to know that, I mean, we're considering this, we're talking about it, we're starting a conversation about it, but it definitely needs a little bit of research, and we definitely need to know what we're going to increase, or if we are or if we're not. But there's definitely things that we need to look at and take careful consideration in. So.
You mentioned that the rates haven't changed in 10 years. Have the hookup and the impact fees changed at all in 10 years?
We did an analysis. I believe it was TO did the analysis, and that's when we decided it would be $10,200 for the impact fee. After we did the impact fee study, that adjusted the rate to match that study.
So that part has kept up, but it's basically the rates and fees. Rates.
Would you mind if I put up some basic information?
Go ahead, Mary.
Okay. Well, I don't want to sound like the know-it-all, because I'm not, but I did look into this a couple of years ago. And so the water funds are called enterprise funds, ENTER, enterprise. And by code, we're supposed to be taking in as much money through fees to support the system. And that is, what we're talking about is why we structured the original base rate at $35 and we went to 20,000 gallons. Okay, and that was down from, let's see, we had $20 a month for 30,000. So the users took a hit from the domestic system and went to this so that we could pay the bill. But let me just say that this is Daniel Municipal. Their revenues are anywhere from 80,000 to, I think the highest we've had is 86 or 87. I'm gonna put 87,000. That's been about the highest revenue that has occurred. From that, there's about a $45,000 for bonds. There's two bonds, and it's about $45,000 total. So let's say now you're down to $42,000, and with that, everything else has to come out of that $42,000. And there are some years when we make it, and some years when the town subsidizes it. The worst of the situation is that we have set aside about $100,000 in an emergency fund in case something really serious happens and we have to go in and buy new pumps or, you know, have a major break or something we have to repair. And that's held at the state level for us, and it's in a special account for that. But everything else has to come out of the revenues that we've taken in. And there's never been enough money to actually hire an employee. The first few years, everybody volunteered all of their efforts. And it was, you know, how that goes. It's gotten harder and harder. And, you know, Eric is now doing most of that work, and Amelia is doing a lot of that work for us. And we are paying them, but we're not paying them that much. And we don't have an employee whose job it is to take care of the system. So all I'm saying is, if we decide to hire somebody, we'll have to raise the rates in order to be able to pay. Now, maybe the new account with CMC, maybe that will assist us. But that money all goes into the system, and we pay our bills with that. So we'll have to make that balance out. With the Stormhaven system, they are much smaller. And by the way, this is, what, 150 users we have or so?
52, I think, yeah.
152 users. And Stormhaven, their revenues are about 45,000, I think. And the same thing goes over there. They've had so much work that needed to be done that the town has had to subsidize them quite a lot because they're not able to. It's only 55 or 56 users, something like that, on that system. And we've had to do so much over there that this system has not been able to support itself very well. So we've given the money or loaned the money the town has, and we've been able to make it work.
Listen. I was just going to say Stormhaven has had a price increase over the years, though.
I understand that, but yeah. it's still a small system, and right. You're not bringing
it hasn't
much
been
money.
Sitting for 10 years like the Daniel one.
Correct. We've had a substantial price increase.
Okay. So when we drilled the new well, we got grants to do that, and that's when that was adjusted. So they have a newer system as far as source than we have.
Right. But part of the issue, pardon me, is we're working with MAG and whatnot, and if we don't have our water rates in line with the rest of the state, they won't give us a grant.
Oh, I know.
So, yeah, there's $1 million grant. You don't qualify because people are paying $35 instead of $45.
Well,
so
that's
these
what they told us.
And no,
that's
but
why they raised
yeah,
rates.
But I'm just saying, like, so that's part of the is just making sure that we even can qualify for those because that is a disqualification right off the bat. They wouldn't even look at your application. Yeah.
So anyway, I was only just trying to give you some information just to let you know where we are and why we feel that we need to do this. And we should have raised the rates over time. We should have done that. And I think that 3 years ago, I went through that process. And at that time, we should have been at $75. If we had done that 2-3% every year, we would have been at $75 a month. And so now it would even be higher if we had done that. So we've saved everybody a lot of money over the years by not increasing. But we've also gone into the hole here. So anyway, at some point, we have to do something.
The gal from Rural Water said for systems like ours, the average is $73 a month. Just throwing that out there. And when we have a public hearing or whatever, she's 100% happy to come up and have those discussions because that's what she does.
Is that for 8,000 gallons, though?
So much
probably not.
It's
probably for 10,000 or more, I would imagine.
It sounded like
we're pretty comparable to what Box Elder was paying for 55. They get 10,000. We are at 8,000 for 55.
For 45.
Do we know what Twin Creeks is charging now?
I don't have Twin Creeks in here. They did put individual water systems in here. They put it by county. They didn't want to single out individual water.
Okay.
Companies, this is just a snapshot.
They had a big increase a couple of years ago.
Yeah, by county, this is just what they have.
Well, anyway, I just want you to understand we're doing all that we can do to keep things down to the bare minimum, but at some point something has to give.
So how do we come up with a dollar amount? I mean, yeah, you can go, I'm going to raise it to $75. Does that cover it, or does 45 cover it, or does 55 cover it? I mean, you do it at 50 bucks now, and it goes to 55 next year. How do we figure that out?
Well, I would go to Rural Water and ask them to come and help us come up with a rate structure. And they would then talk about our expenses and, you know, what our maintenance costs are and all of the things that have to come out of that. And like I say, the enterprise fund is supposed to cover all those expenses. And we're just barely scraping by some years not making it. So, anyway.
And it's also hard because some of those smaller water funds actually have employees. So, you know what I mean? Like, we need to do apples to apples.
Well, like I say, this is just to kind of start the thinking process, and there's a lot of homework that needs to be done.
Right.
And we're going to do that over the course of the next few months, and, you know, make sure that when we actually present this to the public, we know what we're doing, and we've got numbers, and we're not just kind of shooting in the dark at where we're at. So, but we had to have this conversation to kind of get it started and get the ball rolling to see what possibly could happen here in the near future. So
that glazed over a couple of those, and they bring up a great question. So let me just give you a couple more numbers here. Summit County, the base cost is $75, and that's 0 to 5,000 gallons. Okay, this is a system in Utah County. Utah County, their base is $78, and they're up to 5,000 gallons for that $78. This is in Morgan County, this next example. These are all small systems. In Morgan County, the base rate is $49.60, and it's up to 6,000 gallons. They're looking at changing that to $52 for the 6,000 gallons. So just so you know, they have those figures are in there. I just jumped up higher. And they also do it where there's a base rate and you get charged from gallon one. So that's more of a conservation rate, because the more you use, the more you pay. And so there's a base rate. You could leave at 35 and charge by the gallon. And there's some of those examples in this too. And so really it's up to the homeowner how much their bill is over the base rate.
Each water system is unique. Everyone has its timetable when, first of all, the water system originated. And then some have flowing springs and have no pumping costs, and so the utilities or costs are way low. And so if you talk to rural water users, and they have a pretty good feel for what a general pool of rural communities' water rates would be. They don't like to share that because they think they're not comparing apples to apples. But one thing that I think is very important is how fast is that system growing? That is, how fast is the community growing that system has to support? Many of these communities, I was in Spring City yesterday. Literally, Spring City hasn't had a new water connection in probably 20 years. So everything kind of really is pretty simple, it's pretty straightforward. But if you have a system that needs to expand and begin expanding at a higher rate, then basically you should be setting aside some money for capital improvement. That just makes sense. Yes, it's one thing that an enterprise fund has to pay its own way, but it's another thing that you should be setting money aside so that as needs arise and as improvements arise, which we have identified, then basically over time, at least we can say to those who we'll go to petition funding for, yeah, look, we have stepped up and we're more than carrying our fair share of the load. And I think that's the real selling point here. If you're going to have water resources, any of the funding agencies, including FEMA and everybody else, they're going to look and see where your rates are in relationship to maybe surrounding communities, venues that like size and growth. And if you're not carrying your burden, they're just going to say, well, raise your rates and we'll consider this. So I think it behooves us to not only meet our financial needs, but to begin to set money aside for future improvements, which, you know, we've already identified that need to be made. And so, anyway, that's my 2 cents worth of it. And yes, rural water will come and help us do a water study and analysis. Was kind of pinhole what we really should be doing.
Is there a charge for them to do that?
No.
We pay it.
Huh?
Pay our dues.
Yeah. We're part of
it. And Jadel's willing to come in and come to a public hearing or a meeting and answer questions. She was actually really nice. She was in a training all for 2 weeks.
And even though we have two separate water systems and they are standalone and pretty much depend on their own, when rural water comes, they're going to say, no, you have one. That's kind of, because what they're going to say is, okay, this is a town. So, there's some opportunity, but there may be some opportunity costs associated.
And we understand that.
Yeah.
I think that's why we're looking at this. And
absolutely.
I mean, we're going to look at the whole
apple,
so to speak. Do you have any comments back there? Anything?
Has the town of Daniel, have they, lower Daniel, shall I say, have you guys always had 20,000 gallons? Like, that just seems like a dream.
No.
It looks like it was 30,000.
It went from 30 to 20.
Oh.
that's been a few years ago when that did that. I mean, that's
2009.
Yeah.
It just seems like they're odd.
Yeah.
Is that because the properties are larger? I mean, that's just culinary, correct?
Well, the rights are different from what Storm Haven rights are versus what Daniel rights were. I mean, Mary did a lot of legwork for proving the rights.
Yeah.
And the state did take a significant
about 20%.
Amount. Significant amount of those rights as we proved those. But she was doing work back hundreds of years ago, talking to a lot of folks that aren't here anymore.
That's right.
And securing those rights. So the rights are different, and we continue with the state, with the adjudication and everything else, looking at rights. And that's just the fact of the matter is Storm Haven doesn't have as much water, but they don't have as many residents either. So you can't share the cost. And I mean, that $100,000 we're talking about over there on that side, the board was a loan from the city to Storm Haven Water System to get that thing up and running. And they've never made enough money up there to pay that back.
Right.
So it's still floating $100,000. So.
Okay. Very good. Appreciate all the comments.
What will be the next step moving forward?
Well, the next step is moving forward is we'll sit down, Kim and Eric and I, and we'll put some numbers together and find some actual numbers and probably involve rural drinking water and get another, and we'll have this on the agenda for next month also, probably be a discussion.
Good.
And that way we'll have numbers and have factual information that we can talk about and go from there. So.
Yeah, and when we did all this, we didn't have any commercial hookups.
Right.
So now we have some commercial, and so that more revenue.
Yep.
But potentially more impact also.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it comes, like you say, everything's a double-edged sword. So.
Right. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to agenda item number 6 then. And I was hoping that Gary would be here tonight to kind of lead this discussion. But as far as, and I'll just talk briefly about this item number. As far as Daniel Municipal Code, we have the Planning Commission who are working really hard. We've asked them to go over some of the town codes. Pam can vouch for this in the last several meetings. Every meeting that the Planning Commission has, we have them looking at a section of Daniel Code, that we feel like is maybe worded goofy, or it's hard to understand, or not up to date. Thank you. That sounds good. Goofy kind of sounds weird.
Yeah, hard to defend, of course.
But part of the Planning Commission's responsibility is to go through these codes and look at them and make sure that the town of Daniel is doing what we need to do to keep our codes current and keep what did you say, Gary or Eric?
Up to date.
And so we've been doing that now for the last several months. We met with Gary last couple Fridays ago, getting ready for the Planning Commission meeting. There's a few more items that they'll be looking at in this next Planning Commission meeting. And so this is kind of an ongoing thing, and will be an ongoing thing for probably the next several years. We're taking sections of the code, looking at it, seeing if we need to update it, make it more current, and go from there. So that's what I'll say about it. Eric, you want to say anything about it?
It's a continual process. We always have to do this. Legislature meets, they change things. The requirements change. It's part of the small town keeping up. We don't have paid staff. Nobody's here doing stuff all the time. So you utilize what you got, and that's what we have.
So one code this last year that the legislature looked at and passed was 860 pages. And so you sit and try to navigate through 860 pages of that and see what it does to our town. You know, it's staggering, to be honest with you. But that's kind of what we're dealing with, and we're trying to stay as updated as we possibly can. So any other comments or questions?
Okay. Is there any, I guess the question is, do you have anything that you need them to look at before marching on their own to things that are obviously issues that bring it to the attention of them? Does the council have burner items that they need to look at, that you can direct them to look at as a Planning Commission to work on those?
How did you bring that knowledge?
Well, I think we've identified a few in the last couple of months, and we've put them to work on that, such as, you know, the parking of trailers and stuff on property.
Storage and
those items we're looking at, and we've made some progress on that. And like I say, Gary has another one for Wednesday, and we'll get that discussed. And
is there a discussion in there also about code enforcement? Because we might have a real nice code, but if we don't enforce it, it doesn't mean much.
Well, you know that code enforcement falls on the mayor, right?
Yeah. So I brought that up.
The mayor is a pretty good-hearted guy, and unfortunately, I guess, but the mayor will have to take a serious look at himself and maybe not be quite the nice guy anymore that he used to be. So,
okay.
I'm just curious. Best I can tell you.
I didn't know if there was something else that, you know, we could lean on besides just the mayor.
Well, unfortunately, you read the code and it boils back down to the mayor.
Maybe we can sit him on people or something.
Well, I'll send my wife on.
There you go. Make her the code enforcement.
Could be bad for all of them. But we definitely can look at that.
Stacy would get things done.
Yeah, we definitely can look in that direction also. So, all laughing aside. But Any other questions about that? Okay. Let's go to council reports, number eight. We'll just start right down on the end of the table there with Robin.
Okay. Amanda and I have been kind of trying to see if there's grant opportunities out there, and she's done a good job of passing those along. Hopefully you've received some of that information. And I'm just going to pass these out, which basically are, I got from Nancy O'Toole from MAG, and some of the ways that some of this money can be spent and how it can't be spent. And unfortunately for us, you can see there that probably nothing that really would be helpful in us addressing our pressing water issues that we highlighted in our last meeting. But anyway, I just wanted you to know we are out there scratching every surface, and I think Kim's working on a FEMA grant. How's that coming, by the way?
She's going to...
Are you passing the buck?
No, she's just...
She's got an update. Great.
Yeah.
But I just want you to know that we are out there looking for grants and technical and financial assistance or whatever kind of support we can get to make some improvements. And but a lot of this is pigeonholed money. It's specifically designed for some particular senator's wish list. And then it trickles down through an agency, and then they open up the Pandora's box and out sneaks money. And sometimes you can see, you know, for preliminary engineering or feasibility or freight rail projects or wildlife crossing projects, whatever that particular senator wanted to highlight in his pork barrel bill. And then the money passes through and it trickles on down. So MAG keeps us abreast of what's going on with a lot of this stuff. And we'll hope for some good results from the FEMA grant. I also have got the Division of Drinking Water on alert. I call them regularly, just letting them know that should any federal funds, pass-through funds, come our way, which might be related to water or road improvements or other kinds of things that we so desperately need, that they will give us, I'm just like sitting on their desk, just making sure that they know that we're really, really interested. So anyway, I just wanted to give you an update there. I'll wait till we approve the minutes, because there's a new item in the minutes that I think got amended. So I think that's all I have to report today.
Okay, thank you. Barry?
The other thing I have is the interlocal meeting this Wednesday. I've got it on my calendar at 6:30. I think that's still correct.
Yeah. It's at the County Council Chambers.
County Council Chambers.
Yeah. Or online, Zoom.
That's always fun to go to. If you don't have anything else to do on Wednesday night.
6:30, you said?
6:30.
I think I've seen that all night.
Is Wasatch County Council?
Yeah.
No, it's the interlocal council.
Oh, interlocal.
It used to be held over at Midway. We kind of outgrew the place, and we kind of...
It floats around.
It floats around, so the county volunteered to hold it in their chamber.
I see, that's where I heard Kim.
Yeah, it's in their chamber.
Okay.
That's all I've got.
All right, thank you. So, all I have is an update on the 9/11 day of service that's coming up. And I feel like, Lisa, if you want to advertise that, I think you have on your Facebook page up there.
What time?
9:00.
Okay.
And
gathering point.
So there is a gathering point on this day of service. They're going to meet at the Heber Park, and there's going to be donuts and chocolate milk and all that. There'll be multiple service projects there that you can sign up for and go do. But the one that we're focusing on is we're going to cut all the trees and stuff out of the entrance of Storm Haven. And I've got about seven or eight people right now who have committed to going up there with chainsaws and dump trucks. We can use as many people up there as want to show up. We'll be up there around 9 o'clock. We'll probably work for 2 or 3 hours or whenever we have that entryway cleaned up.
So do we meet at the park at 9?
If you want to go to the park, you can go to the park. I'm not telling you where you need to go. You can either go to the park and have donuts and chocolate milk.
No, or just because of parking is
yeah,
what I'm asking.
You can drive to Storm Haven and okay. We'll find a place to park you.
Okay.
So we'll have a wood chipper also, so we'll chip a lot of branches and a lot of that stuff and leave it lay there on the ground. Some of the bigger wood and stuff that's there will block up. If you want to take it to burning your fireplaces or whatever, I doubt we'll have time to split it, but we'll probably buck it up and you can haul it off to your homes or wherever to burn for firewood. A lot of it's cottonwood from what I can see, but that'll be more of the area that we're focused on. We'll put that on the town side also, and anybody that would like to help out that day is more than welcome. If you want to help out, give me a buzz, I'll pick you up. We might not go get donuts and chocolate milk though. We probably just go to the job site.
I'll bring donuts.
So.
We'll just come by your house.
But anyway, that's really all I have. This is a great day of service. There's multiple service projects going on that day. And so if you feel like you want to go out and just serve, that's a great day to do it. So, okay.
And then isn't it a like great family day after? Don't they have like some kind of...
Every day's a family day after work, Kim.
I think they have like something going on there, like
yeah. I'm not sure what they have at the park. I've kind of excluded myself from that.
Okay. But, and is this actually on 9/11?
It is. It's actually on 9/11 day of service.
On Monday. Yeah. Is there an age limit that you're looking for?
I go down to 8, 9, 10. You know.
And can carry a log.
Yeah. Okay. You know, we'll be careful. I mean, a lot of the guys that have committed to me, they know how to run chainsaws and they're experienced with that kind of stuff. And people that are cutting will make sure they know what they're doing, and hauling and stacking and that will kind of divide up and conquer, so to speak. So, okay, Mary?
That's great. Let's see. Representative John Curtis, he's our federal representative, is going to be in Heber City on the 21st, I think that's a Monday. He'll be at the Heber City Council Chambers from 1 to 2, and you know how that goes.
Is that August 21st?
Yeah, yes, and you know how that goes. I mean, it's somewhere in that 1 to 2, don't hold them to it kind of thing. But anyway, they're on vacation, and so they're going around and doing meeting with representatives of our government. So anyway.
When is he finished with this? Because he's the one that's leaving, isn't he?
They're reelected every 2 years.
Curtis is leaving.
He's our representative.
It's not Curtis leaving. No, it's not. It's not Curtis. It's
Chris Stewart.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Chris Stewart.
Okay. Sorry.
We have a special election for him. We did have the BOA, the Board of Appeals meeting on July 11th. Our chair is with us tonight. Heber Taylor was elected the chair, and our vice chair is David Hilton. I thought the meeting went very well. They did uphold, I see on Eric's planning report, they did uphold the Planning Commission's decision to deny the building permit for the Smith family on Tammy Lane. And we'll be talking about this a little bit later. But anyway, I thought the meeting went very well, especially since we had brand new members and had very little practice with conducting a meeting of that way. You did a great job. Thank you so much for volunteering to do that.
Okay, very good. Any questions about what we've talked about? Okay, let's go ahead and go to the engineering report. Amelia.
Handouts today.
So I put together a few documents. The first one is regarding the BRIC grant that we are attempting to apply for the storm heat and water updates. The second sheet is the updated cost estimate as of March for the entire system updates. That does not include engineering. My understanding is that the design is far enough along that it wouldn't take much, but we will have inspection time, assuming everything gets funded. Kim had asked me to put together a cost of what it would take for Ardura to complete the application for the BRIC grant completely. I spoke with our financial aid department, and it's ridiculously expensive.
Thank you for your honesty.
It's not even feasible, I don't think, for the town to even attempt. And we don't really have the time for it. We weren't expecting to complete the full application. It's a 40-page grant application. It'll take some time. So that's why I gave you the first handout that tells you what the sub-application needs to include. So I'm not sure if council wanted to review it and see if we wanted to break off sections and I can step in and help where needed. Furthermore on that, the BRIC grant only awards up to $2 million. And our cost estimate is at 5.6. So you'd have to choose which one of those projects that you want to do, and they all kind of go together to bring the Stormhaven system onto the municipal system and update it with the tanks. So I will leave that up to you guys to discuss. And then the final attachment is an email I got right before I left the office today from Nancy at MAG. And it's a grant from the Bureau of Reclamation. I think it's a Water Smart grant that is for, what did it say? If you're in the watershed, or I think it.
By clean flowing waterways for the aquatic species that you came up.
Yep. So, a 5-minute glance before I left the office, this looks like it could be a really good project, and they awarded $200 million for the program. Mm-hmm. So we will look into that more to see if it's something that the town would want to go after to help for the Stormhaven upgrades. All the other grant options Nancy sent us so far don't really work for what we need. Yeah. It's more for the mitigation and pre-design portion of the project, which we already have because we have the design done.
So what you're saying then with this is that our previous estimate was approximately $4.8 million, and so during that, from that time when that estimate was originally put together, it's gone up to 5.6.
Yeah, and these are as of March. We haven't pulled new numbers since then. So we're still looking for money.
Yeah.
As far as the BRIC grant goes, we're happy to do it to help you guys, but we don't have the time to complete the full application. As you can see, it's due the 31st of this month.
Okay.
No problem.
Well, Amelia, thank you. We'll look through this and see what we need to do to accomplish some of this. So
when you guys have a chance to review that, you'll just give me some direction about how you want me to proceed.
We'll need to read through all this and kind of see what's going on. So, okay, thank you. Anything else, Amelia? Okay, let's go to the planning report. that's in front of you. If you have any questions about that, I like the complaints down there at the bottom, and Pam already talked about the one complaint that we have on Daniels Road, the RV.
By somebody else?
Yeah, there's been a couple. I've had five phone calls personally. Eric's had a few, and so.
You're just moving around.
I don't think it runs.
It looks pretty scary to move.
They're offered moving into the city.
How long is that offer good for?
He offered to move it over by the post office in Heber City, right off the side of the road.
Awesome.
Cover up darkness, there's a lot to be said for that. Not on the record, but there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, I see we've got a couple of ag permits on here that are new. Brad Allen, Bob Probst.
Yeah, so we definitely.
Got a few things being built. The fiber optic lines, they're about done with that, aren't they?
They're marching through town pretty good.
Utah Broadband.
A lot of people have received mailers for a first sign up. They're getting everybody signed up that wants to sign up at a discount to start with. They're working their way through the town. They're still moving further east.
Yeah, they're knocking doors. They've knocked my door twice.
They laid line in our yard like 4 days ago.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
Okay. Any other questions that you see on the planning report? Okay.
I just want to make you guys aware while you're looking that over. We have a new study being done on the floodplain, and so this map they've sent out, they'll be going along the Daniel Creek and shooting elevations and getting a new look at the floodplain in our town, as well as it's countywide program. This has been funded by a grant, and so it's independent, but these results will move into the new floodplain map as they do that. So if some residents call because they want access to property, they'll be asking for permission to go on properties and get elevations and stuff. So just so you know that's a legitimate thing that's going on over along Daniel Creek. So there's no other area in the town that's stated or highlighted to do that. Along the creek, they will be taking elevations along there. Ryan's well aware of this and sits on the committee doing this. So our engineers involved. Just wanted you aware of that.
Thank you. Anything else, Eric, that you want to bring up?
I think we have something in closed session we'll talk about. But
okay.
I think other than that, I think we're good.
Okay. Let's talk about Daniel Municipal Water, Storm Haven Water. We've kind of talked a little bit about that and updated you on where we're at. Does anybody have any questions about that, or do you have any comments about that?
Springs are holding good. It went up high, it went up 129, we're back down 118 CFS, but it's holding good, so.
Obviously the meters are reading properly, I can attest to that.
Yeah. Everybody else that gets an overage says they're wrong. So we've been out with Core & Main. We've been programming larger meters. We just received a updated one we talked about a couple months ago for the school. That meter just came in, so there'll be a 3-inch meter there that needs to be installed and then reprogrammed up at the school. We did have a couple of meters that we were replaced that showed a reverse read, but they have since corrected and reading the right way now. So things are looking up. We went out and checked those out with Core & Main and looked through those. We do have a leak in Storm Haven that needs to be taken care of, but it's not a huge leak. We're pushing 62 gallons a minute down to 5 at 40 PSI, so it hasn't affected the EFD or the drive, so it's a small leak, but we do have one that we've identified, so.
And we've talked about that. We're in the process of getting somebody up there to fix that right now. So we discussed that a week or so ago.
Yeah.
So, okay. All righty. Let's go to the recorder's office, warrants approval, announcements. Kim, anything you want to?
Okay, so the only thing that's going to be a little startling is I thought that we were on track with Ardura, and she actually got me their bill ahead of time. So this is actually May's bill. So we paid 1 month ahead, and I didn't realize that. So we do have a bill, and as you can see, it's permitting. Like, we just have a lot going on in the town right now. We just do.
So it's inspections.
Yeah.
Rather than permits.
Inspections, all kinds of, you know, their time looking over plans, but okay. it's all to do with permitting. Okay. So that's why that's such a large bill. And the 1999 for the Adobe is up, and that should just say up. It went from 1599 to 1999, and so when we are using the new computer person, then maybe I won't have to use Adobe so much. But I mean, that's been kind of my workaround for that. But everything else is, we did have our bond payment, which the irony that we were talking about that. So you can see that was $39,345 under Daniel Municipal. So that's in there. I don't think there's anything else that's particularly surprising. I have moved the Express Bill Pay to, as we talked about last time, to the water systems. That will not come out of the general budget. But I was really unhappy with them. Their general bill is $100 to $108 a month. It's never been over $108. And the bill I got was $160. And so I was actually on the phone with the CEO, and I'm like, what? That's like a 2/3 amount rate increase for 1 month. And we did have an NSF check that was $14, and there was one other kind of random thing that was $10, but it was still going to be $150. And he just said that it's been costing them a lot more to keep employees, and they've just had to raise their rates. I mean, he was really honest about it. But so I don't know if we want to look at another way to collect water bills or not, but it sounds like it won't be $100 a month. It's going to be $150 a month.
Do we know how many people are using that?
We had 52 customers last month.
And they pay that fee, right?
I think $2.
Yeah.
Are they raising that fee for the user? If we're paying more, do they raise that?
Well, and that's pass that on. Water. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that should be over and above, but I just
wanted. I know in May, we had a lot of problems. I had to
go in. Oh, May was a nightmare. Yeah, well.
May was a nightmare.
And that wasn't.
it wasn't
their fault. It was because of that reverse read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That wasn't their fault at all. It was a nightmare. Yeah, but regardless, that's a pretty big increase.
Well, it is if it keeps going.
So to answer your question, they have an enhanced fee on their bill,
mm-hmm.
but this is paid by the town, $180, right?
She's prorating it though under
but it's the coming
water
out of
systems.
Well, it's coming
right.
out of the water
the
systems
not
now.
Individual bills aren't paying that. They have an enhanced fee. It's like $2
So it's not a convenience fee?
So we're not passing that on?
Yes, it's convenience, but the town is still incurring debt. The water system now will be incurring debt.
If it's going to be that every month, that's...
Then we need to assess $2.50 convenience fee? Well, I mean, that's what you charge.
Well, we should be covering the conveniences.
For sure.
Yeah, if we can do that.
But it's also awesome that they're paying it online and we're not having to chase people down too. Do you want to mean like, so it's kind of...
It's a convenience.
Yeah, but, so that was the only thing that I...
Okay. Any questions about the warrants or...
The only thing I want to point out though is every time the totals, they're just not totaling the way.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't know what that...
It's because my computer has not been working for an entire week.
It keeps doing it.
No.
We'll have that fixed.
Yes, it will be, and it's, you're not nearly as frustrated as I am.
As long as, you know, the line items are reflected accurately, that's the important thing, but the totals are misleading.
Okay, let's call for a motion. I'll call for a motion.
I move that we approve the July 2023 warrants as presented.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Dixon, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, let's go to the approval of the meeting minutes for July 10th. We'll start with the...
We don't have those minutes.
But no, I don't have this month's meeting, and that was part, yeah. And I apologize. My computer crashed all weekend. In fact, it locked me. I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to post it on the Utah website. I had to keep signing in. Anyway, so I apologize. So you have the minutes from last month.
Okay. The June ones that we didn't approve last month.
Yep. So let's look at those, and let's, when you're ready, we'll make the motion for the...
Yeah. Item number 8, I think it's on the fourth page, asks for updates on the Keel residents, the Witt building, CO, and the Madsen trailer, and there was the house east of Kit Bangers. I mean, excuse me, the trailer east of Kit Bangers in that neighborhood lot. Yes. I don't know the name of it, but I remember that was on that list that I asked for reports on. And so, does anybody here know the name of the people who own that lot?
That's the property with the...
If you wanted to ask...
Cement block garage.
The Weston Scouts?
Weston Scout.
Okay, yes.
Property. Correct. Yeah. That's got the trailer parked on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so add that to it.
Okay. Well, I asked for an update on all, I think, 4 of those.
Okay. Okay, I'll listen to it again,
okay,
and I'll make sure I listen to what you asked for and put that in there.
That we go into a closed session to discuss imminent and pending litigation.
Okay. Do I have a sec?
It's on Saturday the 9th.
Okay.
At Heber City Park. Yeah. Well, I think people work on Monday.
9/9, Saturday. Thank you.
That's when it's going, on the 9th?
9/9.
Okay, so you made a motion?
I did make a motion.
I'll second that.
Call for a vote.
Duggan, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Jason, yes.
Pearson, yes.